Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. Donna Sebo here, and we have a wonderful subject we're going to be talking about today. What is that? Extrasensory perception. And the gentleman that is my guest today is a man whose background covers years of research. And I think, in fact, I know you're going to find my guest, Russell Targ, absolutely fascinating to listen to. He has put out a new book called The Reality of ESP. This is a physicist's proof, by the way, of psychic abilities. Russell, welcome to the show.
I'm very happy to be with you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, Russell, I've had you on the show before. It's been a few years, and I was just fascinated with your research when I interviewed you before, and I think what you've done with this book is just marvelous, The Reality of ESP, because you bring forth the information in a very basic way for anyone who is listening who may not be aware of Russell Targ. He's a laser physicist. He's written a number of books. He co-founded Stanford Research Institute's $20 million program, where they were able to explore all types of psychic abilities. This he did primarily in the 70s and the 80s. He's got two NASA awards for inventions in lasers, and in 1997, he decided he was going to retire from Lockheed Missiles and Space Company, and there he was involved in the development of airborne laser systems for the detection of wind shear, and that was just a tremendous step forward. And now he's teaching, and what he teaches is something those of you listening might be interested in, and that is remote viewing. Russell, your story, when you really start out with this, you were a total skeptic. You were a scientist first. What made it so difficult for you in the beginning to even consider anything with psychic ability? Was it just because of indoctrination you had gotten, or you had never had any experiences yourself? Why was it you were such a skeptic?
Well, in the beginning, I was doing magic on the stage in New York, and my introduction to psychic ability was standing on the stage, pretending to read the mind of people in the audience, and occasionally getting flashes of information about the life of the person or their house, so that I became quite adept at folding psychic information in among the tricks I was doing on the stage. And then as a young physics graduate student, I realized it's more interesting to understand psychic ability than to continue to fool people. So I had a long-time interest in understanding psychic ability, and I made a little ESP teaching machine that I was able to show to NASA. Wernher von Braun did very well with my ESP teaching machine and encouraged NASA to give me money to start a program at Stanford. So that was the beginning of our program in 1972, which I started with another laser physicist, Hal Puthoff. So in 72, we started a program to investigate how ESP works. And by 74, the government invited us to help them start a Army Psychic Corps. And we wound up teaching many, many people in Army intelligence how to get in touch with the part of themselves that's psychic. So this is not the movie The Men Who Stare at Goats. We didn't kill any goats in our program, but we taught a lot of people how to quiet their mind and describe and experience what's happening in the distance and what's happening in the future, and that's what we call remote viewing. This ability to expand your awareness to the distance and the future and make that awareness part of your life.
That is so significant. And the point of using this first mechanism that you designed to encourage people to do that. It's been my experience that most people who are what we'd call movers and shakers, I'm not talking about the loudmouths and the braggarts. I'm talking about people who are very innovative. I have found that so many times they will have experiences like you described up being up on stage and having. They will say, I don't know why, but this mental hologram just happened to come into my head, and this is what I saw. I don't know why it was there, but I said, why not? And I write it out, and I work with it, and bingo, I've got a solution to this problem or that problem or the other problem. And I think we're all connected. We're all able, at some point or time, be able to have something like that occur. But to be able to do it on a consistent basis or discipline yourself so that it becomes a useful tool, that's entirely different. You had a friend, Dr. Leonard Levine, who suggested that you write this book on ESP for people who don't believe in it. And I thought that was a very interesting position to come from, because you've written so much material. And it's
you know, Levine is a computer scientist. He's a professor at the University of Wisconsin. And he was surprised that after all, he was a high school and college study buddy with me. Mm-hmm. So he was surprised after all these years I'm still involved in this ESP stuff. So I had written quite a number of books with titles like Scientists Investigate ESP, Scientists Look at ESP. So in this book, I gathered together the very best data for my laboratory and other U.S. labs. So for the first time, I'm willing to say a physicist's proof for psychic abilities. And what I mean by proof is that the evidence is so strong that it's unreasonable to deny the reality of ESP. In fact, the evidence for ESP is 10 times stronger than the evidence that aspirin prevents heart attacks. The National Institutes of Health stopped their laboratory testing to show that aspirin was a good idea. They said the evidence is now so strong, we don't want to deny potentially sick people the benefits of aspirin, so we're going to stop this test because the evidence is so strong. Well, the evidence for ESP is more than 10 times stronger than the evidence for aspirin. So that's why I would dare to, in my new book, The Reality of ESP, the reason I put proof in the title is that our evidence from international research is very, very strong.
You have a quote in your
more
book,
Mr.
Right?
Nice Guy. I'm not shy about saying science has proven something.
Well, and I think that that's good. C.G. Young said, I shall not commit the fashionable stupidity of regarding everything I cannot explain as a fraud. I love that quote, because fashionable stupidity prevails in every generation on one level or another. Now, you bring out specific points right in the beginning of your book, in the introduction, about how remote viewing, distant mental influence, the Ganzfeld, feeling the future. These are four classes of description that you have that you worked with. And I know Olga Worrell, who was a very well-known in scientific circles. She worked with scientists.
Oh, she was a wonderful healer.
Yes, phenomenal healer, and she could be thousands of miles away, and they would do the experiment. She affected energy. Well, in your book, what I like is that you speak in a layperson's language, but you're not using woo-woo terminology. And I think that that is very important. I think there's a lot of people, when individuals will use a language or words that seem like they're from la-la land out in outer space, they just get turned off totally. But I've yet to meet a person who has not had an intuitive psychic, remote viewing experience, one or the other. Everybody I've ever met, when I've talked to them, they have had something, and they're either afraid of it, they're curious, or they just say, yeah, well, maybe I just had too much lemon meringue pie, and they discount it.
Well, the remote viewing that we taught at Stanford, this ability to quiet your mind and experience what's going on in the distance in the future, we call a non-local ability. And non-locality is a idea for modern physics. Non-locality is not a metaphysical term or a spiritual term, although the Buddhists were aware of this 2,000 years ago. The idea of non-locality was first described by Erwin Schrödinger in the 30s when he was perfecting quantum mechanics. And what it says is that separation is often an illusion. Oftentimes, in elementary particle physics, things that appear separated from one another are actually connected, and that's because of the nature of the space and time that we live in. So when I say that remote viewing is a non-local ability, what I mean specifically is that it's no harder for you to describe something that's on my desk here in California than it would be for you to describe what's in an envelope that I sent you that's sitting on your table. Going thousands of miles away does not degrade or interfere with the accuracy or the reliability of ESP. That's why the government was so interested in it. It's independent of distance. And not only that, it's no harder to describe what's going to be on your computer screen tomorrow from the New York Times than it is to describe the hidden envelope in your desk. That is, looking into the distance and looking into the future does not make it harder for you to be psychic, and that's why we call it a non-local ability. The term right out of physics. Does ESP is not New Age.
Correct. It isn't. It's always been around. It has always been here. Now, you have a wonderful friend, Ingo Swann, who is an extremely talented and gifted man. Is he still alive?
He certainly is. He's alive and well, living on the Bowery and the Lower East Side in New York. In the beginning, Ingo Swann, who was a natural lifetime psychic, Ingo taught Hal Puthoff and me how to do remote viewing. So the psychic taught the two physicists how to do remote viewing. Hal and I then taught six Army intelligence officers from Fort Meade in Maryland. The government asked us to create... The government didn't like having to come to California to talk to psychics to get information about the Russians or the Chinese. They wanted to create their own psychic army corps. So we trained six Army intelligence people who we chose from a big group. Those six then created a very expanded psychic Army Corps in Fort Meade. They had about 50 people there. And they did a wide variety of things, finding submarines, looking for downed airplanes, locating American hostages, describing... the health of the hostages in Iran, finding a kidnapped American general in Italy, wide variety of things. And that went on. That was a 25-year program using ESP for intelligence purposes. So that if you go to Google right now and search on remote viewing in quotation marks, you'll find more than 2 million pages dealing with remote viewing, how to do it, who will teach it, what it means. So it's become quite a nationwide, a worldwide phenomenon. I was just last week at a conference of the International Remote Viewing Association that was started by the Army Psychic Corps people after they retired. Mm-hmm. So you have all these colonels and majors standing up on the stage talking about how we should get in touch with our spiritual selves. So that's really quite a change in occupation for these guys who I last saw in their leather jacket and their combat boots. They're saying that we're not just material, but we really have a spiritual and a timeless awareness, what the Buddhists call it, where you quiet your mind and you move from conditioned awareness, which is where we defend our ego and our story and what it says on our business card. Defending what it says on your business card is a big source of suffering. So you can move from conditioned awareness to timeless awareness, where you move into the spacious realm and get an idea of who you really are. And you don't have to pay me any money or sit at the feet of your guru. You just have to learn how to quiet your mind and find a friend with whom you can work to separate the psychic awareness that comes to you. You want to separate the ESP from the mental noise. And that's something you can learn to do. And the reason that I've been traveling around the world showing people how to do remote viewing is because it's a very easy thing to teach. That I'm not really showing people how to do anything. I'm just setting the stage, convincing them that they do have psychic ability, and this is a good time to learn to use it and become conscious of the part of themselves that's psychic. And people can learn to do that very readily.
I remember, Russell, many years ago, hearing about a couple that had escaped from Russia. And the Russians were, for a long, long time, interested in this kind of research. And there were some very, very talented people in Russia. And the name of one man is escaping me, but Stalin had him put to death because he couldn't have hidden anything from him.
Wolf Messing.
Ah, there we go.
Wolf Messing was a famous Russian psychic.
Yes, and he was just incredible. However, this couple was being asked to do some things to affect other people, make them ill. And I remember they went public for a while because they wanted the world to know that this was something that they were being asked to do to create harm. And they managed to escape from the environment, and I think they ended up in Israel. I don't know what happened to them because they quietly disappeared from media exposure. Have you, in your research, found that when people are using this, that there are certain parameters of ethics that need to be put into place, or is this something that is there? Because to go into someone's place of whatever and violate it, or to try to use it in a negative way, this is something a few people may want to do, and I think that that is a fear that some people have. Would you respond to that?
Well, in life, there's very little that can't be misused.
True.
Because if I invent water, somebody may want to use that water to drown another person. So if I show you how to sharpen your ordinary vision, you can say, oh, good, I can look through the keyhole or the window of somebody and spy on them. So my view is that psychic abilities are not a sacred ability. They're just an ability, and they can be used or misused like any other ability. What happens, or what happened to me and my colleague, is that we were using psychic ability to forecast changes in the silver commodity market. As one of the things you can do is forecast stocks, and people go to Las Vegas. Our big conference was in Las Vegas because people like to use remote viewing to forecast sporting things. But my experience was we made a lot of money forecasting silver futures. We made $120,000. And we're on the front page of the Wall Street Journal. Nova made a film. So we get a lot of attention for forecasting silver. And then a couple of years later, we repeated this when we were almost as accurate working with my partner forecasting silver. And we began to feel that that required so much attention from us that we just didn't want to do it anymore. It's not that we felt that it was abusing our ability. It's just that we had, after a number of years, gotten our minds quiet enough so we could do a lot of interesting things. It just didn't feel good to focus that much attention on making money. It wasn't evil. God wasn't going to punish us. It's just not what we wanted to do with our attention. And many people come to that conclusion. I mean, that's my feeling. That is, I'm teaching people how to do remote viewing, and they can use it to find their car keys or locate parking places or make money in the stock market. But my opinion is that the most important use of psychic ability is to discover who you are, to get in touch with your non-local awareness, your spaciousness, and just view your participation in the world in a more spacious way than you might otherwise. It's a very optimistic, healthy way to view your place in the world.
I concur. You had a woman you worked with, Hella Hammond, that was just, she was found to be so extremely talented in being able to do this. You worked with a number of and very interesting people. One of them was, not just Hella, but Pat Price, who was a former police officer. And I have known of police officers that utilize this talent of the psychic ability within themselves without really understanding what's going on. And I think
Pat Price was able to find and identify the kidnapper of Patricia Hearst in the 1970s.
Mm-hmm.
We were asked to go to the police station and help the police find out who killed, I beg your pardon, who kidnapped the heiress, Patricia Hearst. She was the daughter of William Randolph Hearst. And Price was able to go through a big mug book, a picture book of the usual suspects in the police station, and finally put his finger on one man's face and say, that's the ringleader, Donald DeVries. And a week later, DeVries surfaced as the actual ringleader. But before he surfaced, the police said, well, we don't know if this guy is really the ringleader. Can you tell us where the kidnap car went? So Price, still standing in the police station, he just pointed north, said, I see a white station wagon parked next to a diner about 50 miles north of here on Highway 101. The car is next to a diner. It's across the freeway from two large water gas storage cylinders by a pedestrian overpass. And one of the detectives with us said, well, I know where that is. That's on my way home to Venetia. And they dispatched a police cruiser, found the car, and they knew it was a kidnapped car because there were still cartridges rolling around in the floorboards of the car. And we had seen the same cartridges under the bed in Patricia Hearst's house where she had been kidnapped. So Price, without hardly taking an extra breath, was able to point to a kidnapped car 50 miles away. That's incidentally one of the most remarkable things I've ever seen. When people ask me, why do you believe in ESP? It was standing watching Price, this cheerful Irish policeman, just point north and say, where you just go north and the diner, the car is on the left, just there it is. And 10 minutes later, they found the car. That's as close to magic as I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. I remember
but
hearing
he did
about
many things like that. He was the only one we knew who was able to read psychically. And we were once given geographical coordinates of something on the East Coast, and Price was able to look inside a super-secret National Security Agency listening post, and he could actually read the names off the filing cabinets. That was a cause of a huge congressional investigation as to whether we were spying, we in California were spying on the NSA. But they, see, one of the best, if people are asking, what's the proof of ESP? One of the best examples of proof is that the CIA and the U.S. Army Intelligence Agency supported us for 23 years at Stanford, and about $2 million a year. And in government research, it's very hard to get follow-on money. So the idea that we were able to get follow-on money year after year for more than 20 years is an absolutely unprecedented event in scientific research. My next job was to put lasers on airplanes to make them safer so you wouldn't run into turbulence. And we did get follow-on money, but it was much harder to get money to make airplanes safe than it was to, during the Cold War, to get our ESP research money. Because year after year, we were finding Soviet submarines, downed Russian airplanes, American general who was kidnapped. So we had many, many operational things to do, in addition to publishing our findings in the world's most prestigious scientific journals. We were more than just spies for the CIA. We published our findings in Nature magazine in England and in the Proceedings of the Electrical Engineering Society and the American Association for the Advancement of Science. So we published our ESP research in the very top world scientific magazines.
Russell, I know we're getting close to being out of time here. I wanted to ask where you're going to be next appearing with your training classes. You're going around the world. Are you going to be in the U.S. for a while? And if so, where are you going to be teaching?
I'm just about done teaching remote. Remote viewing is very demanding. It's much easier for me to give a lecture or book talk, tell them about the interesting aspects of ESP. My next workshop will be at the Omega Institute at Rhinebeck, New York, the last week in August. So I'm going to be at Omega for a week with Stephen Schwartz, a very experienced teacher. He and I have a week-long class teaching remote viewing and spiritual healing. So we'll be at the Omega Institute the last week in August, and that's probably my last formal teaching. I may be here and there, but I'm not doing week-long workshops anymore.
Well, Russell, I know
you're... If you want to hang out with me for a week, you have to go to Omega.
Okay, fair enough. Those of you in New York and otherwise know where he's going to be at the end of August. Check out Russell Targ's website. It's espresearch.com. espresearch.com. The book, The Reality of ESP, is not only a fascinating read, but he gives so many tips and points of information that if you want to explore your own capabilities, this is a wonderful book for you to have in your library, not just to go through and read it, but to go back periodically. Make your notes when you're reading the book, and then go back and reread. Check out some of the resource information he has on his website, espresearch.com, and I think you will really be fascinated with the whole thing. It's just absolutely marvelous, Russ, that you were able to share this time with me on the air. I know your class in New York is probably just going to be swamped with this, especially being your
last... Well, people have a good time with us.
I bet you they do. I bet you they do. Thank you for being my guest today, Russell, and I wish you nothing
but success. Thank you very much for the opportunity. I'm very happy to chat with you.
Thank you, Russell. This is Donna Sebo. Check out The Reality of ESP. Russell Targ, a physicist, he actually gives you proof of the fact that psychic abilities do exist. This is not woo-woo. It belongs to all of us, which you've heard said on this show more than once. This is part of your natural inheritance. Why not learn about it in a way that is practical, down to earth, and that you yourself can utilize to develop your own skills? Donna Sebo here again. My thanks to Russell Targ for being with me today. Check out his website, espresearch.com. We're taking a break. We're going to be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. Four out of the last eight Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sivo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are now open. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Russell Targ is just a fascinating man, and I wanted to share with you a story about two police officers. He was talking about Pat Price. And Pat Price, he's deceased now, but this man was extremely talented. And as an officer of the law, he was able to do so many things because he utilized these intuitive talents. He didn't fight them, he utilized them. Well, there were two officers in New York, and their names I don't have in my mind. This goes back maybe about 10 years, could be a little bit further back. But there were two police officers in New York. These guys, they buddied up. And they had this mind link that was absolutely amazing. And one of them especially was very good at picking up something before it was really going to happen, criminal activity. And what he would do, he would call his partner and say, meet me at such and such a place because something's going down. Sure enough, they get there. Bank robbery was just beginning. Somebody was in the process of committing an assault, but they were there. Bingo. They caught the people in the action, arrested them. Their record for getting criminals off the street was phenomenal. With that being said, the New York Police Department, these two guys were so efficient. Didn't make any difference what time of the day. When one of them would get the flash, both of them would link in, call the other. This is before, I think, cell phones were really popular, so that is a bit of time back. But I'll tell you what, they separated them. They were not allowed to work together. These fellows were setting records, and I can recall seeing a portion of a television interview with one of these men, and he said, it was just this awareness between myself and my partner. And if one saw one thing, we knew something had to be taken care of right then and there. And they were put in, one I think was sent to a police department in New Jersey, the other one stayed in New York. They were not permitted to work together. Now that says something, doesn't it? So here are two men, extremely good at taking care of criminal activity. And they wouldn't they wouldn't permit that after a while. They had to be separated. And they, as a team, they were awesome. I don't know what their work went to after that, what level of efficiency they had in determining things. But together, they were a powerful team. And so many times, we'll have people in our lives that there is that awareness. There's just this communication. It can be a sister, a brother, a friend. It can be a spouse. And it's so strong that there is that communication that goes on. Mothers talk about it all the time with their kids. They know if something's wrong. In fact, there's a cute story with one of the women I met when I was first starting out in my study of psychic ability, and she had been involved in the study for a long time herself, and she would practice mental telepathy with her kid. And I think she actually had more than one child. She had three, I think. But the only one that it would work with was her youngest son, for some reason. And so one day she was home, and she was focusing on her son. She said, I'm going to try another experiment. So she's thinking and thinking and thinking, please come home. Please come home. Please come home. Please come home now. And it was about a half hour later, her son comes into the kitchen. He slams the kitchen door. He was playing football. He takes his helmet. He slams it down on the table. He said, Mother, would you please stop doing that? And she laughed every time she told the story. He said, I want you to stop it. I was in the middle of a game, and I'm here. I knew you were testing me. Don't do that. So she said, she had to laugh. She said, well, I guess this stuff really works. So she didn't do that to him anymore. But she said it was a fascinating thing, that telepathic communication was with her youngest son, but not with her other two children. So it is a phenomenon that it's very intriguing how it works, how some people will have abilities to see colors and auras and others will not. Others have the ability to communicate with people on the other side. Others do not. Others have abilities with healing, transferring energy. Others do not. Why? We don't have it all equally. I can't answer that for you. But just take a look at the Mother Nature. Not everything in Mother Nature is created equal either. So we're a part of this phenomenal experience called life. And if you have any interest in these things, go to your local bookstore, check out writings like by Russell Targ, but also go into your secondhand bookstores and check out the old books that were written a long time ago. And you will find even materials that were written in the 1800s. We're talking about the very thing we're talking about today. It's nothing new. It's just being expressed in a different language. And I like to think it's being expressed in a language that's more comfortable for people to understand. This is a natural part of our life, and it's a wonderful part of our life if you are willing to open up your mind to this. There's some people, I know I have a very good friend, who's very afraid of it for whatever reason. And I said, you don't need to be afraid. You have these talents, but something deep down inside has created this fear for her, and she needs to know she has dominion. It doesn't need to be in that dark spot. But we all have our journeys. We all have our experiences and lessons. And I would say, just as one who's been involved in the work of mind for so many years of her life, be aware there's always something new to learn. There's always something that you can explore, and you will not experience danger. It doesn't have to be there. Donna Siebel here. Give me a buzz if you would like for me to give you a reading on the air. I'd be delighted to do it. Light up your life with a little bit of insight. 888-627-6008. I wanted to share with you a little bit of history. It's about Daniel Webster. Now, Daniel Webster was an attorney, and when he was beginning his career as an attorney, he took a case for a fee of $20. Now, you have to remember, this was quite a while back in time. The case was extremely difficult. This was a case that when, one, he had to prepare for it, there was so much detail that had to be attended to. Two, he had to make a trip to Boston which by itself cost far more than this $20 fee that he was getting. However, he was determined that he was going to give his very best on this case, and he was going to win it, which he did. And one might look at this case and say, well, it was no big deal. However, for him, it was quite a big victory. Well, many, many, many years later, as a professional attorney, Daniel Webster was a man who was highly respected. There was a big company that approached him, and they wanted him to take on a case, and they were going to pay him tremendous amounts of money to do it. And it was like a last-minute approach. We have to take care of this case. We must do it. Will you take it on? There's no cap on what we will pay you to do it. And at the time, the fee that they gave him was just phenomenal, just absolutely phenomenal. Now, he went through and reviewed the case that they were wanting him to take on. Interestingly, he found the case was almost identical to the one he had researched and won nearly 20 years earlier, the one that he had only gotten $20 for. He ended up taking this case for this large firm, and just as before, he won it. Many times we will do things, and we think that was such an investment, it really wasn't worth doing it. And maybe years later, there will be an opportunity to take that maybe we lost money on, perhaps the lessons we learned from the experience, and be able to reapply what we have learned in a way that can create a win out of what seemed to have been a loss, whether it's financial, emotional, mental, physical, it doesn't make any difference. And that's what I liked about this story about Daniel Webster, a very famous attorney here in the United States many years ago. This is Donna Siebel. I know we're going to be taking a break. Oh, have I got some recipes I'm going to share with you. Now, these are easy recipes. My husband is a Southern boy, and he loves good biscuits. And this is a recipe. Now, just plain biscuits he doesn't like. But how about bacon thyme biscuits with orange marmalade butter? Is that causing a little bit of salivating there? And how about a rustic blackberry cobbler? Uh-huh. Okay, maybe I've got your attention. Well, I'm going to give you the recipes for both of those because they're really, really simple. And if you're going to be fixing a Sunday brunch, if you just want to do something different and special for company, for breakfast, for dinner, these are both two recipes that are delightful, especially, well, any time of the year, really. But since berries are going to be coming out, blackberries, it's going to be about a month or so here in the Pacific Northwest before the wild ones come out. But by golly, these cobblers are so good. So I wanted to share both of those with you today. So have that pad of paper and pen. It's nice when the mouth works in sync with the mind. And we're going to be taking a break, so don't go away. We're going to be right back.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Siebel, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now. Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Siebel. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's TOPRICIN, and find out more information. You can order Topricin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Topricin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are open. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. Before I share the recipes with you, which, believe me, they are scrumptious, I wanted to say next week we have a wonderful lineup of people. We're going to be talking with Kathy Anderson. She's from Australia. She wrote a book, Change Your Shoes, Live Your Greatest Life. This woman's experience is phenomenal. And she traveled all over the world. She's been in Haiti. She has been overseas in Europe, in the United States. She is a dynamic woman, so you're going to really enjoy her. Real-time marketing, we're going to be talking about Monique Reese. Business, well, we need to know how to be more effective in business, and Monique goes a long way in helping us do that. Activate Joy, Alexandra Parnes is going to be my guest. She has a delightful publication here. It'll just make you feel good by the time we're finished chatting. Save Your Home, Anna Huevas. This is so important. Too many times today, people are believing hype. They don't know how to save their homes, to save the environments that they've been working so hard for. Some of them are just walking away. Anna is going to give us some real in-depth information. Her book, Save Your Home, is worth every penny. And then The Extreme Intuitive Makeover by Anne Deidre. We got a great lineup of people, and my goodness, it's so nice to be able to share this with you. And I hope you enjoy it as much as I do. And if you know of any subject that you'd like to hear more about, be sure you emailed me, Donna@DelphiInternational.com. I love to hear from you. And I want to thank you for the things that you've been sending, the visuals, the videos, all this kind of stuff. It's just great. I'm not able to use it all. I do get so much material, but I really appreciate that communication. Okay, biscuits. Now, this is making them the homemade way. And all of us have fixed biscuits, and if you're like me, sometimes every once in a while they come out like hockey pucks. Well, this one won't. So here you go with the biscuits. Now, it's 8 ounces of sliced bacon. You need, that's 8 slices. You're going to need 5.5 cups of all-purpose flour, 1/4 cup of baking powder, 1/4 cup of sugar, 1/4 cup of chopped fresh thyme. If you don't have fresh, use the dried. But you don't need 1/4 cup of it. You will just need a little bit less. 1.5 cups of cold butter, and you want to cut them into 1-inch cubes. You need 2 cups of buttermilk, and then the orange marmalade. I'll tell you how you fix the orange marmalade butter, which would go great with scones, toast. I don't care. Orange marmalade goes with just about everything. This is what you do. Your oven for the biscuits will be, it has to be pretty hot, at 375. And you're going to cut your bacon into 1/2-inch pieces. You want to fry them in a skillet over medium heat. You want them cooked, but you don't want it to get real crispy. You want it cooked and well cooked, but not crisp. It's going to take you about 10 minutes. Then you want to take that bacon, put it on a paper towel-lined plate, and then you put it to the side. And then in your bowl, you combine 5 cups of flour with your baking powder, sugar, and thyme. And then you take a pastry blender or a fork, and you cut the butter, or you can use 2 knives, whatever is available. Cut your butter, your cold butter, into the flour mixture until the butter is about the size of a very small pea. So you have all these little peas of butter there. Then you add your buttermilk. You stir it until all the dry ingredients are incorporated. You don't overmix. That's what creates tough biscuits. You want just so everything's moistened. And then the other 1/2 cup of flour, you put it on your work surface or pastry cloth. You turn your dough onto it, and then you roll your dough into a rectangle about 3/4 inch thick. Fold the dough in half. You bring the 2 short ends together. Turn it 1/2 turn and roll it out again. Now, what you do with the bacon is you sprinkle 1/2 of your bacon over the lower 1/2 of the dough. You repeat the fold. Turn it 1/2 turn. Roll it out again. Repeat the fold. Turn and roll. Add the rest of your bacon. Turn and roll 2 more times. This is like you when you're kneading the biscuits. This is what you do. Often you do it 20 times before you cut it out. Now, you want to use a 2-inch round biscuit or cookie cutter, or if you don't want to waste anything, just cut the biscuits into squares. You want to use a serrated knife. One of the things I learned when you do biscuits, you put the sharp edge of the knife down. You don't pull it back and forth. You just push it down, make the cut, lift it up. Dip the knife in flour, push it down, lift it up. Lift it straight up. There's something that will cause with the dough, and it has to do with the friction of the knife against the dough that will keep it from rising effectively when you cut your edges and you run it back and forth. And then you put it on your ungreased baking sheet, put about a half inch apart, and bake them 20 to 25 minutes. They're going to end up looking golden brown. You can even brush them with a little butter if you like before you put them in the oven. It's up to you, or a little water. And then you can serve them with the orange marmalade butter. Now, this orange marmalade butter is so easy. You add a cup of butter, you whip it until it's nice and fluffy and smooth, and then you add a quarter of a cup of your orange marmalade and beat it until it's blended into the butter. Just make up a batch. Just keep it in the refrigerator. It is awesome. And people, when you have company, oh, they love the orange marmalade butter. And then I was going to share the rustic blackberry cobbler with you, but as I'm watching the clock, I don't know. Well, I think I'm going to have a chance. You want to have butter, or you can use a flour-based baking spray. And these are for blackberry cobblers. This is really simple. You're going to need one package of your refrigerated pie crust dough. You're going to need 4 cups of your fresh or frozen blackberries. You need a cup of sugar, and you're going to need a little bit extra because the sugar is going to be mixed in with the berries. You need a half a teaspoon of salt, a little bit of grated zest of one orange. You're going to need 8 teaspoons of triple sec, or you can use fresh orange juice. And you want to have a little bit of melted butter, or you can use the vegetable spray for glazing the tops of your crust. And then you might want to have some ice cream or heavy cream or something else to go with this. Now, this is how simple it is. Oven, 350 degrees. That's got to be nice and hot. You're going to use 8 5-ounce ramekins, and you want to spray them with the nonstick cooking spray. Divide each pie crust into quarters. Gently shape and stretch each piece of the crust. And you put the crust into the bottom and up the side of each ramekin. And let the uneven edges hang over the side. You don't need to trim this. This isn't to be picture perfect. And you want to take a half a cup of your blackberries into each of your ramekins. And then you want to sprinkle each of them with 2 tablespoons of sugar, a little bit of salt, a half a teaspoon of your freshly zest orange, and then 1 teaspoon of your triple sec or orange juice. Then you want to bring the overhanging edges of your pie crust up and over the top of the berries. You don't need to seal anything. You just bring the crust over. And you want to brush the pastry with some melted butter, or you can spray it lightly with your cooking spray, whatever you prefer. Sprinkle it with sugar. Put the ramekins on a baking sheet. I'd suggest parchment paper underneath for easy cleanup. And you bake it 35 to 45 minutes, and the crust will be golden. Those berries are going to be bubbling, and when you serve it warm at room temperature with fresh ice cream. Oh, can't beat it. 2 fabulous recipes. Hey, I made it. We're just about out of time here. 2 yummy recipes. Wherever you are, remember always you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. And you are the person that has all of this wonderful magic inside of you. Remember this and know, no matter where you are, that magic goes with you wherever you go. And don't forget, paying attention to those intuitive hunches can be a very, very positive step forward and a whole new level of understanding in your life. Have a magnificent weekend wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Be happy, be sassy, open your eyes, and live life with joy. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.